Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Unlocking the Unknown Radio. I'm your host, Gary Fisher. Before we get to tonight's guest, Unlocking the Unknown Radio is proud to be sponsored by the Paranormal Research Organization of Florida, or PROOF. Our address is www.flghost.com. If you're in the state of Florida and you're experiencing paranormal issues, please give us a holler and we'll do what we can to help. And as always, we never charge for our services. We're also proud to be sponsored by the Paranormal Kicks Cancer Charity, www.paranormalkickscancer.org, which benefits the children at the Base Children's Camp here in Central Florida for kids with cancer. We're also proud to be sponsored by Phantom Core, Paranormal Production Company, and also paratools.net. And as always, the chat room is open tonight if you guys would like to talk with our guest or if you have any questions. The show will be moving to liveparanormal.com starting next Monday. Really excited about that. Our time frame will be 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and it'll be carried on liveparanormal.com. It will also be carried as a featured show here on Blog Talk through Live Paranormal, and I'll have more information for you on that next week. But tune in to liveparanormal.com, that's L-I-V-E, paranormal.com, at 9 p.m. Eastern next week, for what is the beginning of the next chapter in the show. For those of you guys that have been with me from the beginning, thank you very, very much. For those of you that we've picked up along the way and enjoy what we do, please go with us over there. If you're strictly a Blog Talk person, don't worry, the show will still be available via Blog Talk. But the new home for the show starting next Monday is liveparanormal.com. As far as paranormal TV shows, I got to admit I'm a little backed up on the DVR. I've got a couple, two or three episodes of The Dead Files on there. Steve, sorry, buddy. I'll get to them this week. But I have been keeping up with both Ghost Asylum and Ghost Brothers. And I got to admit my new guilty pleasure in the paranormal is Ghost Brothers. That show is absolutely hilarious, but not in a forced Wayans Brothers kind of comedy type way. Just in a natural occurring things that people would run into in the field of the paranormal. And Ghost Asylum is always strong with Doogie and Porter and the boys. So if you have Destination America, I highly recommend checking those out. Ghost Brothers is on Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, and Ghost Asylum is on Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern. Other than that, like I mentioned last week, I have been asked to be a guest investigator at an event coming up in October. Still not able to announce the specifics on that, but stay tuned. As soon as I'm able to, I will let you guys know where I will be and how you can get tickets and come investigate with me. And there's a possibility we may even try to do, if not a live show from this investigation, we'll definitely gonna try and pre-tape some interviews for a future show. So if you ever wanted to be a guest on this program, come on out. Once I give you the information and I'm able to release it, and be part of paranormal history and get interviewed for our paranormal show. It's going to be a blast. What else is going on in my world of the paranormal? My group has a residential case coming up this weekend, Port St. Lucie, Florida. This is a family that's in turmoil and needs some assistance. We also just helped out a family this past weekend here in the greater Tampa area. I wasn't able to attend that one, but the rest of my group, Ed Bogrowski, headed that particular investigation up. So there's another family that we were able to help. Coming up first part of June, my group's going to have an investigation on a local military installation here in Tampa, as well as a haunted schoolhouse and restaurant in eastern Florida coming up shortly thereafter. And then right after that, we roll right into the Paranormal Information Association conference this year. It's going to be the 10-year anniversary of PIA, and I'm really looking forward to going to that. Getting to reconnect and network with some friends that I usually only get to see once a year, as well as attend some lectures and some speaking engagements by other professionals in the field and learn some things. That's one thing I always tell new people coming into this. You're never, ever too been in this field too long or think you know too much to not learn something. There's new techniques, there's new equipment, there's new theories being used all the time. So I definitely encourage you to learn as much as you can. Pick people's brains and, you know, always continue to learn. Always continue to learn, for sure. Other than that, there is a new UFO show on Destination America on Saturday nights. Wasn't a fan of it. I honestly couldn't even tell you the name of it. I caught the initial episode, and I was like, eh. You know, it's I'm very interested in ufology, but I just didn't like the production value of this particular show, so I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. And if I could take a quick moment, last week, I don't know if you guys could tell as listeners, but it wasn't a very strong show in the first hour. I would like to thank Mandy and Dave Walker for rescuing the show and making it much better in the second hour. But our guest in the first hour was not what I expected from the interview. Quite frankly, that was probably my worst interview I've ever done. And some of that's on me, but I feel like a lot of it isn't. So rest assured, we're gonna vet our guests a little bit better going forward to make sure that we don't have instances like we had last week with people calling in late, people leaving early, not being very forthcoming with the questions that I ask. I try really hard not to sandbag anybody in these interviews. I try to be respectful with my questions, but when your standard answer is, well, I got something in development, can't really talk about that, and then you probably don't have any reason to be doing an interview. So again, I apologize for that. But that was last week's guest. Joining me on the phone right now is someone I'm excited to talk to. He's a paranormal historian as well as the founder of Haunted Knoxville Ghost Tours, Mr. Jay Adam Smith. Jay, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me tonight.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Can you hear me okay?
You're coming in pretty good, sir. Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah, there you go. You're a little stronger now.
All right.
Well, Jay, you know, I usually start off every interview with, you know, because it's a question that always fascinates me about all of my guests. And that is, you know, what is it that got you involved in the world of the paranormal?
Oh, I love talking to people about this when they go on my tours and get to meet me. You know, the truth is, man, I was a total skeptic. You know, back over a decade ago, I was like, you know, this TV show stuff is not real, and can you hear me okay?
Yeah, absolutely. You're coming through just fine.
Okay, because I was getting an echo. That's kind of weird. But basically, I was not a believer. I thought it was all TV shows until I bought a 1923 house down in Florida. And
okay.
I'll be honest with you, it was a dream house for me. I was like, oh, man, a two-story house across from a beautiful park with, you know, a fountain in the middle, two blocks away from downtown that had festivals. It was so amazing. But what I found out is it wasn't as amazing to live there as it seemed like it would have been when I bought it. It's like, wow, this is great. I mean, it was under the square foot cost, you know, like a great deal we got it for and all that. But, you know, just basically have lots of issues that happen. It took a little time. It's very possible that, you know, whatever was there was kind of getting a feel to me, you know. And, you know, I wish I could say that, you know, how I view the paranormal now is the way I did back then. I'll be honest with you, I was freaked out, you know, because crazy things such as, you know, animals, you know, growling and barking at walls that nothing was there, you know. And, of course, I did my research behind, like, okay, does Otis, you know, that's the name of the dog, does he do this very often? Does he ever acted this way? Because, you know, even back then I was kind of scientifically saying, okay, what's going on? And the owner's
sure.
like, he's never does that. It's like he's the calmest dog ever. And says, I got a question. This is unusual behavior. When did he last do something like this that you can remember? He's like, she's like, well, I can only think of one time. And I said, well, share with me. She's like, well, you know, I took him to a little kind of get-together with some friends and all that, and we went into this house that he was not aware of. And he was very protective because there was a person over in the corner that was in the shadows and smoking, and you couldn't really make him out. You could just see a person kind of lurking in the shadows, and the dog was very, very protective, hugely protective, because, I mean, kind of looks kind of creepy, you know, you got a person
sure.
in the corner over there in the dark shadows, kind of stuff like that. And I says, you know,
right.
let me see what's going on. Of course, at that time, I already had experiences in the house, such as, you know, cold spots and emotional crazy stuff and lights turning on and off and faucets turning on and off and got woken up in the middle of the living room, you know, testing out an air mattress one night, and that was the thing that really drew me to the next level, is, you know, testing out an air mattress in the living room again, woken up like around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning by a voice inside my house. It was totally real. It was real. It was so real. I was like, okay, this is freaking me out. So I'm busting it over to my parents' house in the middle of the night, you know, and knocking on the door, and they were like, honey, why are you here? You got a house. I'm like, I don't want to tell you. And of course, the part that really freaked me out with my parents was like, oh, you can tell us. I'm like, well, I think my house is haunted. And they're like, okay, come on in. I was like, that's the kind of reaction I'm getting from your mom and dad.
So safe to say they were believers in the paranormal too then.
Yeah, well, then the truth came out, and they're like, well, remember when we lived in New Jersey for that year when you were growing up? I'm like, yeah. Well, we felt like the house was haunted. We just didn't let you kids know about it.
Oh, wow.
I was like, okay. So anyhow, going back to the dog situation, because this is all kind of leading up to it, because at that time my mind was kind of turning and thinking, I'm going to figure this out. You know, mm-hmm. I'm going to figure this stuff out. So I had a feeling that there was something in the house. So I said, you know, through my research, I found something called smudging, you know, using sage and burning it to rid locations of negative stuff, right? So I'm like, you know, give me a second. I was really calm with my friend. I was like, you know, give me a second. So I went, you know, she had no idea what I was doing. I just walked around the house and kind of my lower voice was kind of real soft, was kind of saying, you know, darkness is not welcome here, burning sage, all this kind of stuff. Temperatures started changing in the house. She felt more comfortable, and the dog started walking around like it was, you know, tail wagging and everything like that without any problems. And she's like, okay. And she actually approached me and she's like, okay, what did you do? I'm like, you sure you're up for this? She's like, yeah. Well, I feel like there was a spirit that was watching it, and the dog did not like that. So what I did is I got rid of it by staging the house. And she's like, holy cow. I'm like, exactly. So it was kind of cool because it was kind of like a scientific test. I didn't want to let her mm-hmm. know anything, you know, of what I was doing. And then afterwards, like, oh, how's it feel? You know, how's it feel here now? You know, and she's like, that's weird. I'm like, I know, it's really weird. So so basically I did some research on the house and found out that the deeds really didn't show anything special, you know, in the past, nothing tragic, anything like that, until I got to 1980. The house was used as a nursing home.
Hmm.
They did not disclose that when I bought the house.
Gotcha.
So in turn, I did disclose it when I left.
Gotcha.
I'm going walking around the house before every real estate showing, staging the house, making the feeling a little more comfortable and stuff. And I finally sold the house. And long story being short, a week after I moved out, the living room ceiling fell in.
Oh my goodness! As I said, did you ever hear from the people that bought it from you? Did they have any issues in the house?
No. I mean, the cool thing about it was I didn't feel too bad because, you know, whenever you buy a new house, they have that clause that, you know, it's like a 90-day clause. If something goes, breaks, or something like that, you know, it's kind of covered kind of thing, you know. So I didn't feel too bad in relation to that. And, you know, they might be fine in the place. You know, some people probably do okay with with haunted locations. But
sure.
But I can say that trying to run a business, at that time I was running a school, you know, in there, a music school. And it just was hard to run my business. I found myself with lots of ups and down swings, emotional and relationship issues, because, you know, what I've seen through my research and all the work I've done is that they don't just mess with the house itself. You know, they also can mess with emotions, because energy can affect anything that's energy, whether it being electronic devices or even emotion. Emotions have an energy charge to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there you
our
go.
Bodies are okay. So that's quite a journey, starting off from someone that, you know, now is considered a paranormal historian and a master teacher in the paranormal field. That's quite a journey, and I'm guessing a little over a decade, if I remember correctly, reading your bio.
Exactly. I've been doing this over a decade now, you know, and basically, you know, me trying to figure out what's going on, you know, the best way to do so is to be in a position of education. So I'm certified as a paranormal investigator. I did one of these pretty extensive online, I guess you can say study program kind of thing, where you had to test on it and all that kind of stuff. And then started my own team, you know, with what I learned through that, and started working with people. And what really kind of drove me to kind of be proactive is I recognized that there were people that were kind of not recognizing the challenges in relation to the paranormal. There were some of these college kids that are like, ooh, you know, it's a little post online thing. Ooh, let me, how can I get a ghost in my house? Can you tell me how I can get a spirit in my house or my apartment or my condo? And I was just like, I actually copied it, printed it, and put it in my binder as a reminder of why I do what I do.
Sure.
You know, it's, there's nothing to be scared of in relation to paranormal. That's why I'm trying to get the fear out. That's what my mission is in life right now, is to kind of teach people that, you know, they do exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, recognize that there can be threats, but to get scary, you know, scared part down. But anyhow, I'm a teacher. I like teaching and been working with a lot of teams and training teams, how to work together, and you name it. I'm there. I'm in the middle of it.
Well, if we could back up for a second, you were talking getting certified in the field. That is somewhat of a controversial subject for some people. So talk to me a little bit about, you know, because a lot of people say there aren't any experts in the field, so how can you be able to certify somebody in the field? So talk to me about your experience getting certified, and you know, what were some of the positives of getting certified, and what are some of the negatives, and what would you say to someone that is maybe critical of that type of experience in the field?
I love that you brought that up, because, you know, I've seen the same thing. I've worked with people like, you know, taking a test does not make you an investigator. And I'm like, I go back to them saying, you're absolutely right. And they're looking at me like, okay. And I'm like, I took the test to get a basis of knowledge. Do I agree with everything in that book? No. But did they teach me how to do investigation properly, have the right kind of form, understand how to debunk things a little bit better, and how what things would, you know, be more possible paranormal? It gave me a good basis. Did they know everything? No. But
yeah, it's interesting.
Do I keep on learning?
Yeah, you always keep learning.
Exactly.
It's interesting that you say that, though, because I think part of the misperception of it maybe is a lot of people think of it as like these fly by night places where it's almost like you can get your, you know, your college degree from Mexico within 3 weeks online, that type of deal, where there's really not a whole lot of effort. You're basically paying money for someone to send you a piece of paper that says you're certified. I think that's the perception out there. So can you go into a little bit more in depth of what your courses consisted of?
Oh, well, I mean, the courses, it was with a Spirit Team, organization running out of Florida, and it had all kinds of stuff from photographic evidence to, you know, how to work together as a team, how to recognize personalities, because personalities are very, very important when having a paranormal investigation team. It's like, you know, are they a type A personality, B, C, D? You know, how well will these work together? How to utilize their skills more on one side than another side? You know, how to take care of a client to make sure that you know, you're not doing things double. Make sure you have the right protection for your group and for the client itself. You know, and recognize those things that are not paranormal, that are like maybe if you bring an EMF detector into a house and it's going off, it's like, okay, well, just so you know, EMF detectors are cool, but they're used by electricians.
Right.
You know, so guess what you are first? You're an electrician before you're a ghost hunter.
Mm-hmm. I always tell people you're an investigator before you're a paranormal investigator. You try and rule out the common occurring things that will give you those same readings on equipment before you can say, oh yeah, there's definitely something in this room, when maybe it's just bad wiring, or, you know, bad wires being grounded, or bad shielding on wiring, or whatever the case may be. So I appreciate you bringing that fact up. So you know, I got to admit, I was one of the people that was skeptical of these, you know, these certifications. So I appreciate you going a little bit more in depth. That definitely, you know, makes it, and I don't mean it disrespectfully, so don't take it that way. It seems like you earned that certification, not just, hey, here's my $40, send me my diploma. You know what I mean?
Exactly. I'm on the ground. I'm running. I'm training people. I'm teaching people. I'm learning, you know, what to do, what not to do. I've done lots of investigations. You know, I've helped clients out with their properties. But the thing is, if I was to choose, because I have trained paranormal investigation teams. Who would I choose first? Here's option A. A person who has watched every episode of Ghost Adventures. Or option B. Someone who is fascinated in paranormal, took the time to get certified and to actually pass a test to understand a little bit more about paranormal. Which one would you choose?
Oh, I definitely pick B all the way. That's not saying that one that, you know, watches all the episodes of Ghost Adventures or Ghost Hunters can't be molded into a really good investigator. But, you know, certain people that do watch those, if they're not familiar with the field, have to understand there's a difference between paranormal work and paranormal TV work. And that's no disrespect to anybody that's on any of those shows, because I have a lot of friends that are on those shows. But those shows are for entertainment purposes. They're not documentaries, you know. And speaking of documentaries, you were actually the star of one that actually won a Telly Award. And I believe it's called Historic Haunting, A Paranormal Study of the Ramsey House, which was released last year. Talk to me a little bit about that whole situation and what spurred you into wanting to make a documentary about that particular location.
Well, that's a great question. Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm honored to have had an opportunity to go out and do that. It's just lots of things coming in line at the right time. I actually had someone that came on my tour that loved it so much, and he shared with me, by the way, I am a producer and, you know, create documentaries and things like that. And then within a few weeks of that, I got contacted by Historic Landmarks saying, hey, we would like to have a serious investigation, you know, nothing, crazy or, you know, a circus act or anything like that. And they contacted me because they knew my reputation.
Mm-hmm.
So I then end up contacting them and says, you know, how about we see if we can end up helping you with your tourism, because you guys need some more money coming into your facility. Why don't we see if we can come put our heads together and create a documentary that can, one, show off the history of your location, but also be able to kind of show the paranormal possible side of it, too.
Okay.
So
gotcha.
It took, of course, me and the producer, we really saved them a lot of money. We ended up doing a 90% off kind of thing, you know, working with them, because we really care about the location and wanted to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
So I got in front of the board of directors and talked to them and said, look, you know, I think this would be a wonderful idea. You know, of course, me being a showman and, you know, all this kind of stuff and a good public speaker, I ended up getting like a 95% approval from the board of directors at that time, which was kind of unheard of, because they're all, you know, kind of in their pastime, in their prime, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And it was neat because I approached them and said, "So I got a question to all you." And by the way, for those who are listening, this is totally behind the scenes. This is something I haven't talked about before. But I went to them and said, "I got a question. How many of you came here in a Model T Ford?" And no one raised their hand. I says, "Do you guys like the Model T Ford?" And they all shake their head, yes. You know, because they're all, you know, had to speak their language. You know,
right.
And I'm like, "You're absolutely correct. It's an amazing vehicle. But here's the thing: does it have the convenience of today?" And they're like, "No." I said, "Exactly. You have a historic landmark that has a video that is dated. Let
nice.
Us help you upscale it, share off the history, and then also give people reasons from out of town to come and visit your place that might be interested in the paranormal side as well."
That's a heck of a sell job right there.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
What types of things happen at the Ramsey House? If, you know, what type of paranormal things go on there? Obviously, it's an important historical location, but what on the paranormal end goes on at this location?
Well, it's one of the oldest stone structures in Tennessee. Dates back to the 1700s.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it is still very original inside the building. Through the years, many reports were coming through with people, you know, going on tour and seeing a person in a room or seeing something that's in the window. Very prominent people recognizing this. Another person who was well known, who was a doctor in Knoxville, you know, I'm not sure what field, it might have been something in history or something like that, but he says that he once looked out the window and saw someone looking like a red coat walking by. You know, and I think they heard the stories for so many years that they were interested to find out, I wonder if something real is going on. So we went in there. It took us quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
About 6 months to a year to get this documentary done, because we did it all on our side time, being that we couldn't quit our job for this by any means with the race that we gave them. but we did the investigation, and of course, me being a sensitive as well, but I lead by science, I lead by my history. My sensitivity is kind of just like that hunch that I like to go with.
Sure.
So I had a feeling that there was a young boy in there. So we did the research, did the history through the building, recognized that there was children that died in the house, things like that. So we started we were generalizing our questions to this particular kid on an investigation. So his name was William, and we know that he died right after his 8th birthday.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, of course, I brought with me my sister. Her name was Lindsay, a young girl that you could see a child easily warming up to.
Mm-hmm.
So we had her in there with me. We both did the investigation, and she asked some questions, you know, "Hi, William, you want to play Jack?" and things like that, trying to touch base with him and what would he be interested in. Of course, we ended up getting a little bit of EMF in a place that has not much electricity in it is actually pretty decent. And it would move. It would not always be the same location, which, again, it's hard to debunk when you have an EMF that's one place one time and another place different time.
Sure.
We also had flashlight activity when we were actually talking to him. So only when we asked and generate questions in relation to him, we started doing that. But the biggest thing that we caught was we asked him how old he was. Now, you have to understand, William died when he was 8 years, 5 days old. What is a child most excited about sharing when he is 8 years, 5 days old?
For to say his birthday?
Exactly. It's like, "I just turned 8. I just turned 8. You know that. You know when you talk to children and they just turned a new age, they want to share it with the world. So we
had,
with a digital recorder on a chair in the bedroom where he passed away, and we said, "William, how old are you?" We had two recorders. We had one on the production camera and one in the digital recorder right there on the chair next to, you know, the flashlight and the jacks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We got a response of 8.
Wow.
And it was not on the production camera. We had it side by side. My producer actually had the clips showing side by side. It was on one and not the other.
That's, that, you know, some people would say, well, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't prove anything. That proves a lot to me. You know, I've had that happen. I've had two audio recorders 2 feet from each other, and one catch a Class A EVP and the other one not catch anything. And to me, that's more validation than not. Because these things don't, you know, it's, they don't always, I believe that sometimes spirits identify with certain people or certain energies, and they're more prone to communicate and or show themselves to certain people, just depending on how they identify with them. So it sounds mm-hmm. like that you, to me, you got some really decent validation with that, that, you know, one camera picks it up and the other one doesn't.
Oh, and I'll tell you, my producer, when I, you know, I also did all the audio reviewing, so I went through that with a fine-tooth comb. I was a little, my ears were a little boggled after a few hours of going through all that, you know. But when I sent him what I got, his response was, oh, my God. He's like, I can't believe that. You know, and of course, him, you know, he's very fascinated in paranormal as well. He mm-hmm. has to check the video camera audio, and he's like, Jay, you would not believe what I just noticed. It's not here, and it's over there, and no one was talking in there at all. You know, and
wow.
having it being so specific of how old are you, 8, and it matches William, and we're asking questions to William, not asking to anyone else.
That's so cool. So very, very cool.
Yes.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
No, you're welcome. You're welcome.
You know, Jay, you've also been featured on the TV show Travel Channel's Paranormal Paparazzi. And forgive me, I'm not familiar with that one. So if you could, wouldn't mind taking the next couple minutes, educate me and maybe my listeners that hadn't heard of it. What was that show about, and how was that experience being featured on there?
Well, the first thing is that the experience was amazing. It was so, I was honored to be recognized for, you know, my knowledge base in paranormal and all that. And again, you know, when they end up saying, you know, paranormal expert J. Adam Smith, I'm kind of like, okay, Travel Channel considers me a paranormal expert. Sounds awesome. You know, it's like, you know, I have been considered a paranormal expert, but I'm, you know, I tend to be kind of modest and saying, you know, there's still a lot more to learn, you know, but thank you for calling me that.
Sure. Absolutely.
But basically it was on the pilot. It only lasted one season. And it was Zach Bagans' idea. And it was kind of like a round table. They had like maybe 8 or 9 different reporters.
Mm-hmm.
And they would meet up in a particular location, sharing different paranormal happenings around the country and the world. And they would end up coming back and sharing what they have, and then of course they'd be talking and discussing about it at this round table. So what do you think? Do you think that was credible? Do you think da 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 kind of stuff?
Gotcha.
So basically, you know, I just happened to be on, you know, the pilot one. I was very honored to have been, you know, asked to do that. And, you know, I look forward to having more opportunities to be able to help, you know, in different ways in the industry.
Did you get to meet Zach during the filming of that?
No, I've met Zach a few times, you know, through my history of doing conventions and doing the Ghost Hunting 101s around the country and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it was one of his, Brandon Wellington, who is now off to other, I think he's now starring in some movies and stuff like that right now. But actually, at that time, it was kind of cool. I had a lifted Jeep, Jeep Wrangler.
Mm-hmm.
And big tires lifted and stuff, and I was like, "But Brandon, you ever gone in a Jeep with the doors off and the roof off?" He's like, "No." I says, "Well, here's your opportunity. Jump on in."
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, so it's cool. So I made an instant friend at that point. You know?
Very cool.
But they're very, very awesome. I still follow him on Facebook and things like that. And he really enjoyed working with us. It was the Tom Reed case that the actual episode was talking about. He's actually a multi-generational UFO abduction case.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is quite amazing. He's a good friend of mine as well. And, you know, he's one of the most documented cases ever, basically, with him. So,
is that show available anywhere on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon that you know of?
I have not seen. I mean, it is listed on IMDb, and you know, I have been listed, you know, on there as well because of my appearance in it and stuff like that. But I don't think it was a very successful show. I didn't like how personally they were kind of going about and kind of acting like the quote unquote judges of these particular cases. I personally feel as though Tom's case was quite amazing. The evidence that he had was quite amazing. But when they ended up reviewing the information, they kind of were like, I'm not really sure.
I got you.
You know, kind
okay.
of stuff. So it's kind of like, you know, maybe they rub people the wrong way. It's hard to really say, but it did last the season.
Yeah. If I could ask you for a second, your experience with Zach Bagans. I've never met the man personally, but he comes across as kind of an enigma. I would say some of the people I talk to that have had dealings with him say he's very standoffish, very rude, and other people say that's not the case. So what was your experience like in your interactions with Zach on the convention circuit and whatnot?
I'll be honest with you. You know, I try not to talk bad about anyone because, you know, that's just the way I've been taught to be. You know, everyone's a little different. Everyone has the right to be the way they are. Personally, I found Aaron to be the most approachable in all of it. I know that the particular convention I was at, Zach was kind of a little bit picky about little things and just a little bit overzealous about certain aspects of like him and his, but that was a few years back. I know that he's upset a lot of teams from talking around the industry. And I'm not a fan of his actual paranormal investigation, you know, way he does it.
The style.
Yeah. You know, the antagonizing. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I personally feel as though he's going for ratings, and he wants to have something that's going to happen to him that's going to wow the world. So I call the spirit a jerk and a scallywag and all this, and I get pushed down the stairs, I'm going to be a headline.
Right.
You know, so basically what I do on my tours when I educate my clients, I teach them to learn the history, understand the history about the location, treat the spirits with respect just like you would your grandparents, and you'll get more evidence that way.
I couldn't agree with you more, Jay. I mean, I think you just hit on something that I continually preach both, you know, in my travels as a paranormal investigator as well as here on the show. You know, it's these are people, and I think sometimes people in the field lose sight of that. That, you know, these were people, these are people, and, you know, if this person was alive and you were calling them a scallywag and demanding that they show themselves if they were hiding in the shadows and they were flesh and blood, well, chances are they're probably not going to come out. And if they do, they're probably going to sock you in the face. So, you know, provoking.
It's like you wonder why he gets scratches on his back.
Right. You're provoking to do one of two things. You're going to get absolutely no evidence, or you're going to get interactions that you really don't want. And I guess for the sake of for ratings, I guess maybe that's one way to go. And I know there are people that's very popular with and that they model their investigative style after. For me, I'm with you. I'm not a fan. I'm more about respect. And I know the evidence I've been able to capture backs that up. Being respectful, I've gotten way more. I mean, I have admit I've tried provoking in the past and it didn't work for me and I just wasn't comfortable doing it. So,
well, I'll tell you what, the provoking has multiple dangers to it. It has dangers for the person, your family, if you come home because they can't follow you home. I'm not trying to scare anyone that's listening in. But spirits have the ability to go places. It's all in their choice. So, therefore, it's nice. Because that way you're not going to have any problems, and your family's not going to have any problems. And the second point is those groups who might be modeling themselves off of Ghost Adventures, they're obviously in it for themselves. If they get into these locations and they are pissing off these spirits, are they dealing with the spirits afterwards?
Probably not.
They're going to make the house worse. You know, so that bothers me, you know, tremendously, because these people might be scared in their house, and now it's going to be twice as hard because you just completely pissed them off. They're going to assume that these investigators are friends of yours, and it's just not a good idea.
I couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. You know, one of the main reason I do what I do is to help people and make them feel safe and empowered in your home. And if you rile up whatever they're dealing with, how are you doing that? How are you benefiting them and how are you helping them? Which is what should be, in my opinion, your number one goal if you're in a private residential location. Commercial locations are different. That's a different animal. But even then, there's people that own those buildings. There's people that are in those buildings that have to maintain those buildings or have, you know, business in those buildings. You know, you don't want to be affecting them either. So I think you bring a great point to the table for sure. You know, we're about 2/3 of the way through our hour here, Jay. But I wanted to give you some time to talk about your ghost tours. You're the founder of Haunted Knoxville Ghost Tours. And I have to admit, my only experience with a ghost tour it was here in the local Tampa area, and the gentleman, we had actually been invited to investigate a place called the Cuban Club here for one of the local news stations for Halloween. And in the process of us doing our investigation for that, here came the local Ybor City ghost tour. And so I listened in for a little bit, and I wasn't impressed. The guy sounded like he was reading from a cue card. He was talking down to the people. But I know from what I've heard from your tours, that is totally, you know, 180 degrees from what you're up, you know, what you do. So talk to me about your ghost tours and what makes it special and how you go about, you know, doing your business.
You're absolutely correct. My tour is different. It is. That's the reason we're getting national attention. That's why Tapped Para Magazine did a 4-page feature on us last October, calling us the hidden gem of Haunted America. Because what we do is we offer an adventure for our participants, a safe adventure, true history, and hands-on tools with the real stuff. Yeah, so we put them through a crash course, Ghost Hunting 101, show them how to debunk things, and how to work together as an actual team. So that right there is the biggest thing. You know, and on top of that, I love what I do. I really do. I go out there. I have a great time. I joke around. I have fun with my participants. You know, I tell them, I says, by the way, you're going to be walking around the city with some tools. It's going to make you feel like you're a Ghostbuster. I says, but it's
minus
okay.
The proton
we've been doing
pack.
This for quite a while now. Exactly. We're not going after any Stay Puft Marshmallow Men tonight. Just so you know, you know. But the awesome part is, before me, Knoxville never had a real line of sight, I guess you'd say, in relation to the paranormal. We all know St. Augustine and New Orleans and Savannah and things like that. Knoxville is. Has more reason to be haunted than even those cities. We have layers upon layers upon layers of dramatic stuff that's happened. Trail of Tears came through, Revolutionary War, Civil War divided loyalties, mobsters, gunslingers, serial killers, secrets under the streets. And people get to learn that. So whether you're into ghost hunting or just an awesome time about history, you're going to have a great time on this tour, you know. And,
gotcha.
Of course, people like the idea that they're getting taken around by someone who knows the history, you know, and also understands the true ins and outs of paranormal investigation. They're not getting taken by a random guy. There was a, I'm going to tell you, there was a group that came into Knoxville dropping a ghost tour that was a national ghost tour right in the middle of mine, starting at the same place, starting at the same time. And I contacted him. I said, hey, I've been here. Yeah, I've been here for like 4 years doing this. I says, you know, can you ask me, can I ask you how this is going to work? And they're like, well, you know, we don't mean to cause any businesses to have any hard time or anything, but, you know, a business is business. But the truth is that that company was averaging one-star reviews, not paying their employees, and they're not around anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel bad because some people end up, due to them being around, they said, yeah, we bought some tickets a couple years ago, and they kept on rescheduling and rescheduling and rescheduling. You know, and I'm like, I am so sorry for that experience. Please come on mine, and you will see the real thing.
Wow. It's a shame that people think that, you know, you can just do that. You can just show up and say, okay, I know a little bit about this building, a little bit about this building. Let's start a tour. You know, you've got to love it. You've got to love the history aspect of it. And to me, that's, you know, I'm a big history buff. So the history is just as fascinating to me sometimes as the paranormal to these locations, especially being here in the South, you know, because there's, you know, this is our American history. This is, you know, like you said, traumatic events that people in this country have died for and bled for. And so there's that whole historical aspect that is just so cool. And then, oh, by the way, some of these places also have a paranormal aspect to them, which is like icing on the cake to me. It sounds like that group was probably related to the group I dealt with here in Tampa, because that was the same type of vibe. It was like they didn't.
I think
it was
that
like
they were down there.
It's like they. It's
I
like
the
they, these people were. I think these people. It's like they came off like these people were bothering them. Like it was a chore for them to take them around. I'm like, well, if that's how you're gonna be, then don't run a tour. It's interesting.
The quality tour will stick around. The one that truly cares about an experience. You know, and I love telling people this. I'll go to them and say, have you ever been on a ghost tour before? And they're like, yeah, I think maybe one in another city. I said, have you ever been on a ghost adventure? And I said, that's what you get with mine. You get an actual adventure on mine, an adventure tour.
Gotcha. What types of locations do you guys cover in your tour or your adventure?
Well, actually, going into where I get the name the paranormal historian is being from Florida originally, not too far from where you guys are. I find that when I came up to Knoxville, I didn't know anything about the city. I am completely from a different city, don't know anything about the history.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did, instead of leading by someone saying, oh, do you know this place is haunted? I spend hundreds of hours researching the history of the city, and then when I found the place where something traumatic happened, I went and investigated second.
Gotcha.
That's the trick. If you want to be a good ghost hunter and you want to figure out how to do a better job at it, learn the history first.
Gotcha. Do you run your tours year-round or just particular times of the year?
We are a year-round tour. During the winter, we tend to slow down a little bit because we'd rather the chills coming from the experience, not from the weather.
Sure. I forget too, being up there in Tennessee versus, well, you know, being a Florida guy, you know, I would think it'd be the opposite down here. It would slow down in the summer because it's just so darn hot. I know I don't like doing commercial locations during the summer down here at all, just because they never ever have air conditioning and you sit there and you sweat all night. But I can imagine the weather's a little more moderate up there, so you can get away with that.
Well, the great thing about my tour is that we can keep the prices down on tickets because we don't have to go into actual facilities.
Okay.
You know, a lot of our ground zeros, a lot of our places where something tragic happened are on the street level. So, you know, we can be able to go around a graveyard. We can that is historically haunted. You know, we can go to a place where used to be an undertaker's office or where a Civil War battle happened or this or that. and we don't have to go inside these buildings, you know, and it really works out great with that. But with that being said, since we're outside, not all paranormal investigation tools are going to be effective.
Right.
Such as a night vision camera. Night vision camera. Or a digital recorder. Now, because we don't know whether a headlight may have done that, came around the corner, or if someone in the parking garage next door said something and it caught that. But we do catch many Class 1 EVPs through the spirit box.
Okay.
And
gotcha.
Some of the, you know, and of course, we go for the Class 1s, you know, because, you know, it can be radio.
Sure.
So, you know, some of the things that we've caught on the tour, we were at a location where Civil War soldiers would have met, and being a divided Lowell town, that would make it kind of a challenging location where Civil War soldiers might be meeting, you know?
Sure. Absolutely.
So one of my investigators went out loud and said, "Union forever!" And directly after that, a flashlight went on, a K2-meter spike, and freedom came through the spirit box.
Wow. Well, if that isn't validation,
that,
I don't know what is.
You know, in another location down by a statue of a rowboat guy that is really odd because it has no real reason to be there. One of my groups was using the spirit box, and they were very polite, and they said, "Well, thank you for allowing us to talk to you." And then directly afterwards, Godspeed.
Really?
Now, what's interesting about that is Godspeed is an old terminology that's not normally heard on the radio. Second, typically it was used by Naval. And we were at international port one time, and right next to a statue of a person in a boat.
Well, there you go.
So
that's
we have plenty
so cool.
more, you know, EVPs that we've caught and things like that. But and we actually got a picture of what we believe to be a Civil War nurse on Day Street, our main drag, which was very clear.
Oh, nice. Very cool. Have you met any resistance from the local community with doing your tours, or have they been pretty supportive?
I think that if they had their choice, they would want nothing but historical tours around the city.
Gotcha.
But when you go the extra mile that I do, I'm out there in the public on the weekends. I'm interacting with people, making sure my clients are having a wonderful time and all the great reviews. You know, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, we are definitely getting a lot of attention.
Absolutely. I know you mentioned earlier the convention circuit and you know, meeting up with some of the Ghost Adventure guys at conventions. How many conventions do you do in a year, and what one's been your favorite so far?
Oh, well, due to my work in Knoxville, I haven't been to as many conventions in the last couple of years as I like to. You know, I'm trying to get a little more out right now. But Scarefest was fun. Fanboy was fun as well. I got to do a Ghost Hunting 101. I got to actually be in Celebrity Row signing autographs next to people in Walking Dead and stuff.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, it was really neat. And the funnest part about that convention, I'll be honest with you, was hanging out afterwards at the hotel in the jacuzzi with people that were in Walking Dead and stuff. You know, just kind of just talking and just hanging out and making friends and all that.
Very, very nice. Very nice. Do you have upcoming appearances scheduled?
Actually, yes. If you're familiar with Phoenix Rising Productions, I'm one of their
Brandon Kreitzer's. Yeah, a very good friend of mine started up that agency.
Yeah, I know I have something coming up in about 4 weeks. There's only three tickets left, and it's the Old South Pittsburgh Hospital investigation on June 4th and 5th.
Okay.
And I'm one of the featured investigators there, so I'm really looking forward to that. And I'm also doing a lot of stuff with some charity stuff. We got in October, we do something called Hallowed Help for the Homeless, which is collecting clothing and jackets and food and stuff like that for the homeless up in the winter. But honestly, what's really getting me excited right now is a group called the Knoxville Ghostbusters.
Okay.
These are cosplayers that have an Ecto-1 and a support vehicle and dress in full gear and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, very cool.
So I am planning a big event here in Knoxville for the Ghostbusters 3 coming out. And it's going to be kind of like a weekend where you get to enjoy the Ghostbusters and be a ghost hunter.
Very nice. I like that. I like that idea, that cross-branding. I like it.
Oh, it
do you
is.
Think the,
I'm actually going to be in costume because I am a Ghostbuster fan.
Very,
so
very cool.
So we're doing an upscaled new version. I am going to be like the tactical response group with the Ghostbusters. So
nice.
I'm going to have a kind of like a double barrel shotgun kind of style pack and all that kind of stuff with a helicopter pilot speaker thing goes around my face with a red eye cross signal lens that goes in front of my eyes. It's gonna be really fit like Ghostbusters for the 21st century.
Oh, very cool, very very cool.
So.
Excellent. Well, Jay, we've only got a couple minutes left here. If someone wanted to get a hold of you or wanted to find out more about your tours, how would they do so?
Well, you can go to hauntedknoxville.net. And we love to say, we'd love to brand ourselves as the spirit where the spirits never sleep. And you can find us on Facebook. That's a great way to kind of see what's kind of going up, what's going on with new things and all that. So that would be facebook.com/HauntedKnoxville. Or just put HauntedKnoxville Ghost Tours in there. And, we hope that we get some participants that are interested in traveling over here. Knoxville is definitely a great place to visit. I'd love to work with you and show you how to ghost hunt for real.
Excellent. Well, Jay, real quick before we get you out of here tonight, you mentioned the new Ghostbusters coming out. What is your opinion? Is that going to sink or swim?
You know, I'd like to be optimistic.
Okay.
It's been almost 30 years since there has been a Ghostbusters that has been successful. And just the idea of having it come back out, you know, makes me really excited. I love some of the clips that seem like they're pulling real ghost hunting aspects to it, you know,
mm-hmm.
the possessions and all that kind of stuff, which is kind of neat. And of course, you know, the release event's going to be so much fun. We're actually planning on having the Ecto-1 being led by police cars going down the main street in downtown Knoxville.
Oh, that's very cool. Very, very cool. And you got your double barreled proton pack ready to fire.
Oh, you better watch out. I'm going to look very dangerous. It's kind of funny. You know, the chapter, the Knoxville Ghostbusters, the chapter, you know, the current leader of it, the president, he says, so what exactly do you see your character doing? I said, well, my character, when the spirits are extra restless and a little bit more dangerous, that's when you bring my group in.
Ah, you guys are kind of like the SWAT team of the Ghostbusters.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, Jay, thank you so very much for sharing some of your time with us tonight. And please consider us an open invitation. We'd love to have you back on the show in the future, catch up with you and see how things are going with your tours and these special engagements. Old South Pittsburgh Hospital was just featured recently on an episode of Ghost Asylum. So that's definitely a location I'm looking forward to hopefully investigating at some point in the future. So.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, I wish you could come up for this event coming up.
Yeah, unfortunately cannot make it. Military's not going to let me off, unfortunately. I was thinking about it when it first posted, but who knows? I might get up there eventually at some point anyway. But, thank you for taking time tonight.
I'm going to offer you an invitation to come up here. You want to come on my tour? I'll teach you how to ghost hunt.
Sounds good, my friend. Sounds good. Maybe I'll teach you a trick or two myself. But, Jay, thank you for taking time tonight, and we'll be talking to you down the road.
All right. Thanks to all the listeners out there. I hope to see you guys in the future.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
My guest tonight was the founder of Haunted Knoxville Ghost Tours, Mr. Jay Adam Smith. Really cool guy. And if you're in Knoxville, definitely give that tour an opportunity. Check it out. It sounds like it's a really, really, really cool adventure, as he said. So that's enough for this week. It's a short show this week, folks. But joining us next week on our very first episode on liveparanormal.com, we have two guests. In hour number one is going to be Lee Allen with Paravisions Paranormal. And then in hour two, the founder of the Paranormal Research Organization of Florida and one of the coordinators for Paranormal Kicks Cancer, Chris Gaskowski, is going to join me in hour number two. We're going to talk all things Paranormal Kicks Cancer related, because the some really cool things spinning up with that program and that charity. But again, I'm really, really excited with the fact that the show is moving to Live Paranormal next week. Thank you all from the bottom of my heart for following me here on Blog Talk. And for those people that, you know, only enjoy Blog Talk, it will be available as a featured show through Live Paranormal here on Blog Talk. Just search the keyword liveparanormal.com or Unlocking the Unknown Paranormal. But for those of you that want to slide over there and check out the new experience, next Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, liveparanormal.com. That's live, L-I-V-E, paranormal.com. But until then, as I say each and every week, but I mean it from the bottom of my heart, be good to one another, and we'll see you next week on Unlocking the Unknown Radio. Take care.